brand new week to find out what's on your mind. An important week for us Christians, Holy Week as well, and a blood moon coming. I was talking to Phil Parker about that earlier. I'm not familiar with blood moons. I need to get schooled up on the blood moon thing. So if we have any blood moon experts in our audience, let's have the details. What is the significance? What does it mean? How rare is it? You know, the whole deal. I want to know. All I know is that if you get up really, really early or stay up really, really late tonight, you're going to see the first of what maybe a couple of these things. And many people have theories on what they mean. So we might as well. Is it a coincidence that Holy Week comes with a blood moon? I don't know. I don't know. It seems fitting for the stories we're going to hear much about on this Holy Week. A rather somber, for the most part, till we get to Easter. The tough part between now and Easter, a rather somber week. Anyway, happy Monday, my friends. Not a happy Monday if you're a Gopher fan. And boy, Todd, Todd Mitchell is here, folks, along with yours truly, Scott Henn, on the program.
Hello.
We call What's on Your Mind. And the telephone number to join our discussion is 800-228-0550. We have some interesting guests today on the program. Bottom of this hour, we're going to chat with the mayor of Watford City, Brent Sanford, and talk about something we chatted about briefly last week. And that had to do with a proposal that's on the actually going to be before the voters in June in Watford City for a, I don't know what you call this, but it's part civic center, part event center, part recreation facility. What the mayor will tell us, I believe, is it's about, adding to a sense of community in Watford City.
How about community center?
I guess. I don't honestly know what their name is for it, but Rob Port, who writes a blog for the Say Anything blog, had written a piece about this, criticizing a comment by Mayor Sanford in one of the articles about the facility as calling it critical infrastructure. And he said, a water park is critical infrastructure? And I guess one of the stories talked about the fact that it will have a swimming pool, indoor swimming pool. They'd never had one in Watford City before. And so that led Rob to call it a water park, and sort of mock the idea was critical infrastructure. My take was what the facility actually is, I think fairly can be called critical infrastructure. And, of course, infrastructure sort of in the eye of the beholder. Some people say, no, that's just a road. No, that's just water and sewer and, the things that allow you to actually exist, not a facility like this. But schools are critical infrastructure to a community, aren't they? I would think so. Medical facilities in a lot of larger communities would be critical infrastructure.
Now, I think anything that thins out their gridlock out there right now would be pretty much critical infrastructure.
So anyway, we're going to talk about what exactly is critical infrastructure, and I hope start a conversation on what these communities need to fairly be on par as a community to attract people, because that's really the long-term thing. You hear that even from the major oil executives who say, hey, number one need is people. And in order to get people, build the schools, build the houses, give these people a sense of community so they will, move there and stay there and bring their families there. So anyway, we'll have that discussion at the bottom of this hour. We're going to go to Nevada next hour. A reporter for The Blaze, Beckett Adams, has been covering the ranch standoff with the BLM in Nevada. And we've got actually a couple of guests that are going to join us to talk a little bit about that. So looking forward to that discussion. The big news there over the weekend, BLM backed off. And said, we're going to stand down. I don't think they're giving up the fight. They're just going to do it in another way and not seize cattle and have armed agents there and everything else. And by the way, kudos to the BLM, because that really seemed like a dumb idea. That was the most offensive part of this whole thing, how this order was being enforced. We can debate about, well, here's the debate I'd really love to have. States' rights, how far we've fallen from states' rights, how far we've fallen from the Constitution, even in the amount of federal lands that's just owned. But then this was really a states' rights deal, because these grazing rights predated the BLM. And anyway, we'll talk about all that next hour. We have some time right now and in the start of next hour just to find out what's on your mind, however. And that's the part I was getting to when I was about to ask Todd the question. If you followed on the social media circles this weekend, the trash talking going on between University of Minnesota Gopher fans and University of North Dakota fans. Did you watch any of this as you were observing over the weekend, Todd?
Oh, yeah. You know, it reminds me of, I went to Ohio State in the 90s for a while, too. But, you know, the only time Ohio State rioted is either when they won a big game, like a championship game, or when they beat Michigan, because that's the bitter rivalry there. I've never seen a situation where somebody riots in a semifinal game and then when somebody loses in a championship game. Other than, I suppose, if they feel screwed by some referee ruling or something, like they got it stolen from them. But if they simply flat-out lost, they can go rioting.
Yeah, I understand it's a big rival. I just don't get rioting at all, right?
I don't either.
And, you know, UND and NDSU have won plenty of titles. I don't see any rioting. It's a big school, so you're going to have an element there. It's in a big city, so maybe that's different.
Our riots are a lot more subtle. We don't overturn cars and burn couches and stuff like that. You know, we tend to be a little bit more subdued than that.
But there was
more polite than that.
There was some social media rioting that was going on. Here's my take on it. Okay, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And Gopher fans, I welcome you to enter this debate. I view as a UND, long time, not quite lifelong, but long time Sioux fan. The Gopher fans over the years just have an attitude about them that is snarky, I guess is the word I would use.
Yeah.
A little arrogant, little noses in the air, a little mightier than thou, holier than thou. And Thursday, after what was arguably the championship game, okay, I mean, it was unbelievable hockey on Thursday. Ends up, the Sioux lose with 0.6 seconds to go. There was a lot of na-na-na-na in-your-face stuff from the Gopher fans, okay? So Saturday night, the championship game between Union and the Gophers, then the Sioux fans kind of put it back in the Gopher fans' face. And it was ugly, both ways. Both ways ugly. And then, by the way, guilty as charged, because I think I posted something after the game Saturday night saying, anybody here feel bad for the Gopher hockey team? Yeah, me either. You know, I did say I was sorry, so I guess I was kind in my snarkiness. But it's just, speaking as a UND fan, I feel compelled to enter the fray, because of how much trash talking the other side does. Now, if our mothers or grandmothers were here, they'd say, two wrongs don't make a right, or they'd give us some, they would, I think, properly lecture us, and this is very bad behavior. And you know what? I think they'd be right. But it seems rather nasty. Why? Why is it so nasty? And the rioting thing, I don't get either. I don't know that you can make any sense out of that whatsoever. To answer those questions and or tell us what's on your mind on this or any topic, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. So mentioned next hour, we'll delve into this ranch debate as well. And if you have a take on the BLM backing off, and when I say backing off, how they were going about their operation in Nevada is what they're backing off on. I've seen nothing that suggests they aren't still going to fight here. In fact, I think they said as much in their statement. But they ceased operations. They said it was not safe for their folks there, and it was getting ugly. So I think the BLM deserves a little credit here for getting smart and saying, wait a minute here, this is not good. So I would like to see a real reasonable debate about states' rights and about a lot of the different issues this is raised. And we'd welcome your thoughts on that as well today. 800-228-0550. So those are the two primary topics we've got on our mind. A couple other things, obviously, in the news we'll tackle as we go, including the EPA ban that is coming home to roost right now for a lot of hockey rinks in our region who are having to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in retrofits because of, it's not Freon, but it's like Freon. It's like the product they put in Zambonis that makes ice. Because the EPA is convinced it contributes to greenhouse gases, they put a ban in place, and now rinks are having to decide, do we proceed or do we wait for this new technology? Very costly and a big mess, and all for nothing, in my view. Kind of crazy. So a few others like that we're going to chat about today as we go throughout the program. Here's a couple of your comments on the riot question. Why do Gopher fans riot after hockey championship games, yet UND and NDSU fans have never done it, despite several championship victories for both? Tom says, we're more civilized. All right, there you go. U of M, another shot across the bow at the Gopher fans out there. Carol says, well, they are from Minnesota where they elect Franken. She makes it political. Okay. Dale, I agree with Tom. We're also classier. They don't call them rabbit chokers for nothing. See, here it goes. Here we go, folks.
There's a difference between the sports rivalry thing and being just totally bitter and nasty and stuff. We're the good-natured. Nah, 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 nah. We don't burn cars.
Pat says it's cool to act stupid, don't you know? So European, like after soccer matches. Well, Minnesota is, at least in the Twin Cities.
We are not that European anymore, are we?
Minnesota is going a little on the European side. I'll give you that. All right, more coming up, folks. Your take on this. Let us know.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
A word about agriculture from the North Dakota Farm Bureau. When animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers that raise animals for food in our great state, one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices, and the measure passed with more than 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress. Tenants have made this country great. Learn more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your Farm Bureau.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Beetelsbacher.
Backed by popular demand, the North Dakota Soybean Council is once again sponsoring a See for Yourself tour July 14th through 18th for North Dakota soybean producers to see their checkoff dollars at work. The tour includes visits to North Dakota State University's Commodity Trade Room in Fargo, North Dakota's Port Services and Train Yards in Minot, the shipping terminal at the Port of Grays Harbor in Aberdeen, Washington, and an aquaculture facility in Washington State. If selected, airfare, lodging, and most meals will be reimbursed by the Soybean Council. All North Dakota soybean farmers are invited to apply to participate in this See for Yourself tour by or before April 30th. Simply log on to ndsoybean.org to apply or contact the North Dakota Soybean Council office at 701-239-7194.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
The program that wants to know so bad it's the name of the show. That's how bad we want to know what's on your mind. So, 100-228-550, 701-258-0550. And you don't have to talk about questions on our mind, top planner today, or even we'll have later in the program. You just have at it. 805-550-701-258-0550, brought to you today in part by the North Dakota Petroleum Council. Find out more about them at NorthDakotaOilCan.com. $30 billion in economic impact, 30 with a B. 60,000 jobs and, of course, doing their part to get us towards energy security. Nearly a million barrels a day now. How about that? All right, let's go to Brian in Jamestown. Wants to talk rioting. Has there been any riots in Jamestown recently, Brian? I'm not aware of any. You there, Brian? Okay, Brian's up, but we can't hear him.
Maybe he's too busy rioting.
You think that's it? He was calling from he was calling from the riot, had to set the phone down and go, you know, tip over a lamppost or what?
It's like the 80s hair band. It's a quiet riot.
Here's a call that came from Jan during the break on the Nevada situation. While we wait for Brian.
Hi, Scott. This is Jan. I'm calling regarding the Nevada incident. I heard an interview by Mr. Jensen, a rancher, and he indicated that there were a lot more tortoises when there were a lot more cattle there in Nevada. And a friend of mine said that the tortoises actually lived off of the excrement of the cows, and that's why there were more. One other point regarding the incident, someone reported that Harry Reid indicated that they had to get rid of this rancher so that the Chinese solar company could do their $5 billion energy deal in Nevada. So I don't know if that's a part of it or not, but it's really something when the people are threatened in the way they did and what courage they had. One of the fellows had never been more proud of the cowboys in Nevada. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of issues there, Jan, to tackle. One, you know, on the tortoises. I mean, again, the reason the BLM enforced this dispute to the degree they did was because they were sued by a extreme environmentalist group because turtles didn't have enough to eat. I kid you not. And, you know, there's that smelt story out in California where generations of farm families are being impacted and because of irrigation being shut down because of the smelt. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Here's where we should spend some time, without question. On the Harry Reid thing, there is a story out there today, headline, Nevada standoff could leave dirt on Harry Reid's reputation. Longtime aide of senator is at the helm of the Bureau of Land Management now. Interesting. Okay. Let's go to George and Bismarck, and you're next on What's on Your Mind, George.
Yeah, I know that this isn't what you're talking about today, but maybe another show you could talk about the Missouri River and the Corps of Engineers and how they're handling the future runoff with the snow in Montana. I had a friend that just came back from Red Lodge, and he said there's still 5 feet of snow on the golf course out at Red Lodge, and all that water's got to come this way, and I just can't imagine that we're not going to have some kind of problems.
So you would like us to get some answers from the Corps on how they're going to handle this or what the plan is?
Well, just, you know, they say that they've got it under control, but I've had so many people talk to me and other people. I've overheard conversations that people are just worried, you know, because they've got 190% of snowpack in Red Lodge, and I know the Corps says it's 130% across the mountains, but, boy, I hope that they're right. That's all I can tell you.
Very interesting. Well, we'll do a little digging on that, see what we can find, and we've had the Corps on before, and I know folks don't always like the answers they get, but we'll ask them to come back and talk about the snow situation in Montana.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate the suggestion and the tip, and questions like that, we're always welcome, whatever we're tackling on the program. Dave and Dickinson, you're next on What's on Your Mind.
Hey, good morning. This environmental group that was threatening to sue BLM, I've never heard who that was, what group it was. If anybody out there knows, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We have a guest. We have a guest next hour, Dave, on that. I'll add that to our list, okay?
Thank you.
See if we can learn a little bit more about the group that forced the hand there. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Dave, let's see. Brian Jamestown's back. Is the riot over, Brian? You're able to talk now?
Yeah, there ain't a whole lot to riot about in Jamestown. It's a pretty quiet town, so.
That's a good
thing.
To deal
with the riots in hockey, I mean, I don't find it that surprising, you know, in a sport where beating the hell out of each other is socially acceptable. Nobody goes to jail. They come back. They do it all over again the next time. I just don't find that surprising that these guys would act like that and then their fans. You know what I mean? It's just kind of the unspoken word. I mean, these guys go out, they act like animals, they have a good time, and I guess that's their cup of tea. Not for me. I'm a quiet football fan myself, so.
Well, why does it happen there and not here? What's, you know, is it this is a big city, more students? I mean, to be fair, there's 50,000 students at U of M, and we're talking about 19 students arrested, 4 in some pretty serious trouble. But, you know, arrests or not, or numbers or not, it just seems, I don't know. I just don't,
I think,
you know.
Scott, I think all that chokers talk you had on the radio, I think it really put a thorn in their side, gave them something to be bitter about. Maybe that's why they're rioting.
Yeah, they're listening, I guess. All right. Brian, appreciate the call. This, you know, it does bring up a serious topic, talking about the, you know, the trash talking going back and forth. If you read some of this stuff back and forth and what one fan says to another, I don't know, Todd, if you were a diehard Gopher fan and I'm a diehard Sioux fan, I don't think you and I, even over a beer or something, would, you know, we might rib each other, you know, once or twice, laugh it off, move on. But
right.
you say things that you wouldn't, you know, in other words, you type things, which is, I guess, saying it, you know, you're commenting on social media in a very different way than you would interact in a conversation. And I'd put that high on the list of not-so-good things about social media, because things can escalate pretty quick. I mean, obviously, they can escalate in the sense of a riot down there, but, there was a social media riot between the two fans all weekend long. I think that's not a very redeeming attribute to social media. Agree or disagree?
Totally agree, and that's been one of the problems all along. People are perfectly willing to put things on social media they would never in a million years say, and never in a million years allow their name to be attached.
Yeah, there was one fellow that was commenting on a few of the pages that, you know, then a bunch of fans ganged up on him, but I was like, you know, I'm like, looking, and they call it trolling, but I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's a little, you know, hot-headed. Go over to his page. That's called trolling, I guess, when you go over to the page and seeing all this stuff about the game and the language. I'm thinking, and this is a parent, you know what I mean? On there talking about being a dad and everything. I hope your kids aren't looking at your Facebook page. I mean, people really get hot under the collar about it, and, you know, I don't know what it is. It's a sign of something that is not exactly healthy. Okay. What makes a community? And is a community center an event center, a civic center part of that? We're going to have that debate when we come back. Stay tuned, folks.
We want to know what's on your mind. So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
Tioga, North Dakota is home of Nesset Consulting Services in a beautiful new facility. Kathy Nesset talks about the hometown of Nesset Consulting Services.
I'm very proud of this community. This community welcomed me back in 1979 and 1980 when I first came here, and I feel to whom much is given, much is expected. I am very happy to be able to give back.
And talk about what this new facility allows Nesset Consulting to do for the future.
We're very fortunate. Now we have space. We can now, we have more people hired. We are specializing into some very specialized field services, such as we want to do some thin section preparation of drill cuttings for the oil companies. We're able to do a little bit more quality control of the work that we're doing because we have space for the people to be able to do that work. We have a lab in the back in the shop, infrared chromatography and such like that we're doing on the well sites for the oil companies.
To find out more, go to NessetConsulting.com or call them 701-664-1492.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
If you're worried about your health, and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2014 for 20% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
This is What's on Your Mind with Todd Mitchell. I'm Scott Hammond. I'm talking a little bit about oil patch communities and what constitutes critical infrastructure, what constitutes a community. Talk a little bit about this because of a story that's been in the news of late, and that is a vote that will go before Watford City voters in June for a facility that they are calling a events center. And we're going to let Mayor Brent Sanford explain what this facility is. Rob Port had written a story about a story that was written about it. Actually, Amy Dalrymple had written a story for Forum Communications about the facility, and it was referred to in the story as a water park. And I guess got compared to what recently has been put up in Williston, or what Dickinson had some time ago. But this is really a all-in-one events and convention center for the community. And it is, I think, a fair question to say, what is critical infrastructure? Because I think Rob's point was critical infrastructure is a road or a highway. It's water and sewer so you can build homes. That's critical infrastructure. What the mayor was saying is that this facility, which is not a water park, which is many things that we'll let him explain in a minute, is critical infrastructure in the sense of building a sense of community. And one quick story I want to relay. Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council told us recently that he went on a little conversation tour, if you will, with all the CEOs of the major oil companies, oil field service companies, the Halliburtons and the EOGs and all the major ones. And I think the guy at Halliburton he mentioned was the one that was most forceful on this, say, hey, everything you're talking about up there, the most important thing you can do is building things that will attract families. So these workers that we're going to need for decades, bring their families there, have the schools for them to go to, have the homes for them to stay in, have the amenities in the community. That's critical to this boom. Well, is then a facility like this fairly called critical infrastructure? That's the debate we want to have today with our two guests. The mayor of Watford City, Brent Sanford, is with us. Mayor, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Thanks, Scott. I'm doing great. Always a pleasure.
And Rob Port is here of the Sanding Blog, and Rob's the one that's kind of called into question what is critical infrastructure. Does some great reporting at that wonderful blog, the Sanding Blog. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Good morning, Scott.
Nice to have you both on the program. Let's start with this. What is the facility, Mayor Sanford? Would you describe it for us?
Absolutely. We're looking at building a community events center on the same donated property site that our new high school project is going on. It's a roughly 200,000 square foot facility. And the reason for it is obviously our population has grown from the 1,500 to 1,700 range up to we have 6,500 people using our sewage system at this point, and that amount of people and more on the outskirts of town in RVs that are currently in the area. So all of our community facilities have been outgrown and are really, really undersized for the amount of people trying to use them. So we're looking at bringing a a consortium of groups together under one roof with two sheets of ice, for one for practice, one for the games, so the skating club and hockey can have two sheets instead of the one sheet they're using now. The kids practice from 4 a.m. to midnight. There's not enough space. Also adding six basketball courts so all the rec programs and the school programs can get on court time for the basketball season when you've got girls and boys going at the same time. And a small component of this is we've never had an indoor pool. We've never had a swimming club. We've never had a swimming team at the school. Groups have been asking for an indoor swimming pool for 20 years around here, at least, probably 30. And so like 10% of this facility is actually a competition swimming pool with the other half is a leisure pool with a water slide on it. So a very small component of this facility is swimming, but there is a piece of it that includes that. And the last piece is a convention area where you could have 1,200 people in a conference and actually have a space to do this where the previous facilities we had were, you know, sized correctly for 1,700 people. We've got a plan to grow towards 17,000. And so this is something we feel the time is now. Put all of our resources together and not build four or five different facilities over the next 5 to 10 years, but just do it all under one roof.
All right, Rob, obviously it's not a water park per se, which is was referred to in one of the stories about this. They're sort of focused on the pool side of this, but it's obviously, the mayor described, rather kind of a multifaceted facility. Does that make you think any differently about questioning whether this should be fairly called critical infrastructure?
Well, no, not really. You know, I think that if you're making, you know, whether you want to call this a water park or, you know, all the other things that it is, hockey rinks and things like that, you're comparing it to roads and sewer. I think that something that's critical is safe roads and sewer. And, you know, really, there's clearly a demand for these sort of things. I mean, we look at Williston, where they've had just a huge response to putting up their facility in that community. And I think when you look at the level of demand that really is there for these facilities, you have to wonder why are the taxpayers building these facilities? I mean, why can't private sector companies come in and do this? And maybe that's a question to be settled locally. What I worry about most is what are going to be the political ramifications from this? I mean, what are, right now we have Western North Dakota that is struggling to get things from the state. They want a special session. They want the state to address more needs in the West. And the rest of the state is sort of looking at the West saying, okay, if they get a special session and then they're spending their local tax bandwidth on things that really I think a lot of us maybe can agree are not needs so much as wants, then you have to question how much is there really, you know, how bad are things out there really? I mean, because we're told that there's all these urgent needs and all these things that need to be funded immediately. But taxpayers in the rest of the states are going to say, listen, if you're building a water park or ice hockey rinks and all these other things that, again, I think are lower on the tier than roads and law enforcement and things like that, then you have to, you know, what does that do? I got to tell you, they're going to go into a session. If they get a special session to address Western needs, and then you've got two of the communities in the heart of the oil patch putting up facilities like this, you're going to have a lot of legislators from Fargo and Grand Forks saying, do we really, you know, are the needs out there as urgent as we're being told?
And, Mayor, I'd like you to address that. Before we get into the funding element, just talk about how you see this as critical infrastructure. I mean, what in your mind, as the mayor, constitutes critical infrastructure?
Scott, basically the last 3 years we've been putting in the base definition of infrastructure, we've been putting in sewer main extensions. We've been putting in water main extensions. We're in the process of building two water towers. We're in the process of planning to build a sewage treatment plant. And we've had development start to fill in around these core infrastructure investments, these basic infrastructure investments. And so we embarked on a conversation with the governor's office, with state leadership about, you know, this community infrastructure is as important as that. We can continue building roads out into nowhere, and we can continue building water and sewer extensions into nowhere. But I tell you what, when you have community facilities that are set up for a community of 1,500 to 1,700 people, you can't expect people to keep deciding to come in and buy a house that happens to be more expensive than what you'd pay anywhere else in the state and want to live here without amenities. When we're already pushing the size of the amenities, pushing these to the limit of our community facilities, and to go with 5 to 10 times more people and use those same facilities, I tell you what, it's not going to happen. People will not choose to live in Watford City. And we feel the burden of having to have a home for a large percentage of these production oil field workers. As we all know right now, 45% of the rigs and activity and leasing is in this state, in this county. And so McKenzie County has to be a central place where we can accept more oil workers and they'll want to live. And I agree with the oil company execs. We listen to those guys. The quality of life is a huge issue on trying to combat their excessive employee turnover levels and get families to want to settle down here. So our definition of what is critical infrastructure for this community also includes public buildings, not just streets and pipes. We've got funding mechanisms for streets and pipes. Public buildings, we do not, because our property tax base is too low at this point. We're growing into a property tax base. It's not there yet.
So what about Rob's point that, okay, you define that as critical infrastructure, and you've made the case on why you think that's important in building a greater sense of community. It will make it more difficult to then get the dollars you're asking for from the legislature. Do you reject his premise there?
I think we're looking at, you've got to split this into two arguments as well. I mean, sales tax is one thing, and then government provided services based on your property tax is another. We don't feel that we could go to the citizens and ask for a 1 to 1.5% sales tax to build sewer lines and roads. But our citizens, as were the citizens in Williston, are ready to pay for a sales tax for community buildings, for community event center type buildings, for a hospital is another part of this tax vote this summer in June. I mean, we've got issues we're believing that we're bringing to the people that are something that could be voted in. We don't believe that it would be successful to go ask the people to pay for new roads and new pipes out to new subdivisions. That doesn't seem to make sense. That doesn't seem like it would be palatable to the voter. That's left to your normal government operations, which is with property tax. And out here, an important part of our property tax solution is also the in lieu of gross production tax, which is the well site taxation that was taken away from us and brought to the state level in the 50s when oil production started out here. That gross production tax is in lieu of property tax for our communities. So we have been having the conversation about using gross production tax to also provide those community facilities and infrastructure that would be used with property tax in a larger community.
So you go to the voters and you say, give us a sales tax. We're going to then take out a loan or a bond, and it's not a grant. It's not a mill levy. It's not an increase there. You're paying for it, and here's what you're going to get in return for that. And, Rob, your take is that that's going to cause issues at the legislature, because they're going to say, if you can afford a community center, then you don't need our money for roads? Rob?
Oh, sorry, Scott. I didn't know you were addressing that to me.
Yeah, sorry.
I think part of the problem is that, I mean, the mayor brings up property taxes. People should realize that $100,000 of residential property in McKenzie County is currently taxed at about half the rate that $100,000 of residential property here in Ward County, where I live, is taxed. There gets to be a feeling where the locals in McKenzie County and perhaps Williams County is another example are asking the state to fund needs while they spend their money on wants. And, you know, again, we can have a debate about how important these sort of facilities are to the community, and I'm not necessarily going to dispute that, but I'm not sure that locals are necessarily putting all of their skin in the game, and they're asking the state, you know, to impact a lot of this. And not every taxpayer in North Dakota lives in these areas. And
all right, hold that thought. We're up against a hard break here. We'll give Brent a chance to respond to that. Rob, if he wants to finish, can. And more of our conversation straight ahead on What's on Your Mind.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
You there, driving the rig. How goes it? With each passing mile, does it seem like you're leaving something behind? Like your future? If so, there's someone who wants you. Nuvera Environmental Solutions, formerly Power Fuels. We're in North Dakota, in the Bakken oil fields, the part of the country that's been in the news. Nuvera is making our own news. We're a company putting energy into sustainability in the oil fields. What does that mean? That means you can drive for a company that actually cares about the environment while caring just as much about your paycheck. Start with a generous signing bonus that's part of a commission-based salary. So the better you work, the more you make. Get amazing benefits, even for family members living out of state, along with healthy servings of our 401k program, flexible work schedules, and vacations. Drive smarter. Drive for Nuvera. Visit nuvera.com/careers or call 701-842-3618. That's 701-842-3618.
Look, Billings, Montana, the Metro Park Expo Center, home of the 15th Annual Energy Exposition. Yep, June 25th and 26th. It's the largest oil and gas trade show in the Rockies. You go there, you get exposed. Register your company for a booth now. And hey, don't miss the industry dinner with keynote speaker, the Honorable Dick Cheney. Admission to the expo is free, and the exposure is, you know, priceless. The Energy Exposition, June 25th and 26th. Find out more at energyexposition.com.
If you're looking for an easy, clean, and safe way to haul more loads of grain every day, the Roltec electric system from AgriCover converts manual opening hopper bottoms and side-locking tarps into electric. It makes loading and unloading hassle-free. This completely integrated system uses the same wireless remote to control both hoppers and a roll tarp, keeping your driver out of the dust, rain, and harm's way. Schedule your install today by calling a dealer near you. Find a dealer online at RoltecElectric.com. RoltecElectric.com. RoltecElectric.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
It was 70 last week, right? And now snow and what in the world's going on here? 20 in Williston at this hour, Bismarck 25, Minot 23, Fargo 27. Oh my gosh. How about this? Tioga 16, Stanley 16. Right now, little chilly out there. All right, but they had what, 3 inches, 5 inches of partial, I guess, and about 3 here, Bismarck. So, yeah, exactly. What else can you see? It was 70 last week. Incredible. Anyway, back to our conversation.
And 2 weeks ago, it was a blizzard.
I know. This is just crazy weather, and now we got the red moon, right? Yeah, the blood moon. Excuse me. Anyway.
Exactly.
What is happening? The program this hour brought to you by our friends at the North Dakota Petroleum Council and the Oil Can, NorthDakotaOilCan.com, to find out more about everything they have to offer, including $30 billion in economic impact, 60,000 jobs in energy security. Chatting with Rob Porter, the Sanding Blog, and Watford City Mayor Brent Sanford a little bit about a debate you hear a lot about the needs and the sense of community and the infrastructure of the oil patch. Rob, did you finish your point before the break, before we give a chance for Brent to respond here?
Well, no, I guess I was just pointing out that, you know, property taxes in a lot of these western counties, McKenzie County included, Watford City, are a lot lower than in other parts of the state. And I'm not one necessarily advocate for higher property taxes. I like the idea of keeping taxes low. But also, I think it creates a problem when you have, again, you've shifted from what are probably top priority infrastructure, you know, roads and sewer pipes and things like that, to maybe second tier wants, And then you're asking the state to kick in for the needs, and the locals are paying for the wants, and you've got this disparity in property taxes, some other issues. I think it creates a problem, and I think it undermines their case, you know, for instance, for a special session. You know, again, to hear Mayor Sanford talk, we're past the critical point. I mean, we're past the point where, you know, top-tier infrastructure needs are being addressed. Now we're on to second-tier things like hockey rinks and pools, and that's, I think maybe that undermines the case for a special session as well.
Mayor?
First of all, I guess I'd like to say that I have not been one to personally call for a special session. That's a conversation that was involved with the oil and gas producing counties, meeting with the governor's office, talking through it, and there has not been an official call for a special session from the oil and gas producing counties organization. I have not myself, when asked, I've been prompted to ask for it. I have not done so. We're to the point where we're too close to the session. We're now asking for consideration for road infrastructure funds that will be awarded early in the session, say January, February, so we can get to the construction season in 2015. That's the critical issue here on the timing of these funds. There's a lot of planning on how much infrastructure money is going to be put out. The problem last time was it wasn't finalized until close to May, and so you lose that construction season. We out here in Williston, Dickinson, Watford City, and all the counties in between don't want to lose the 2015 construction season because we don't have any idea what funding's coming. So we would like special consideration in January is what the current talk is. To the property tax issue, Rob, that our assessor was notified by the Minot assessor when your report came out about the $500 for a $100,000 home in McKenzie County. The actual number in Watford City is 867. I believe the number in Minot was around 1,000. And so we're close. And actually, I have a listing of
lower. I think I would call that.
What's that? 867 versus 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay, 15% less. Let me give you a quick history of the taxes out here. We didn't have a property tax rebellion out here like we saw in a lot of the rest of the state. We had reasonable taxes. For example, in the year 2010, I have one property, a four-year tax history on it. The true and full value was at $92,000. We started having to bump those assessments every year as much as we could, because of that, what's happening with property sales. And so that house has gone from $92,000 up to $167,000 now in 4 years. So people get the notices that your taxes are going to be assessed. Your house is going to be assessed at a 30 to 40% increase every year. That, I tell you what, that's hard to go to the voters, our local voters, with that.
We've gone through the same thing in Ward County where, you know, my property values have gone up 20% in some leaps and bounds as well. I mean, that's not restricted to simply your area.
Right, and so what we've done to try to ease the blow is the mill levy's actually gone down a little bit from 28 down to 19 in this case. So, I mean, the tax on that person's house still has increased from $1,300 to $1,416 in that time period. And so the people are feeling a 5 to 7% increase in property taxes, and they don't like it, but we're trying to back into a reasonable property tax increase, which is also what the legislators encouraged the last session, was if you're increasing the dollar to dollar, you need to send out notifications because obviously the values are skyrocketing. But we are not maxing out the mill levy here in Watford City just because someone would tell us to in some other part of the state. That isn't fair for the person that's living in Watford their entire life to have a 40% increase in their taxes because we've been inundated with oil activity.
But it's worth remembering that while you're not doing that, you're also asking the taxpayers in the other part of the state to pick up a lot of the impact for what's going on in your community. I mean, at what point is there local control and local responsibility?
Well, let's shift to where does the tax revenue come from that we're looking for a piece of, Rob, and that's from the gross production tax and the extraction tax that's produced solely out here. It's not produced anywhere else. There's $2 billion.
Hold that thought if you would, Mayor. We're up against another break. You guys okay staying a few more minutes into the next segment?
Yep.
Sure.
Let's continue the conversation. Watford City Mayor Brent Sanford, Rob Porter of the Standing Blog. We'll do it after the break for news on What's on Your Mind. Don't touch that dial.
We listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. Give KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Megan's on the phone from the North Dakota Truck Wash, now open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and two heated bays. Do folks need to call ahead, Megan?
Absolutely not. It's first come, first serve, but please call us for wait times. Our phone number is 701-628-1550.
How's things going?
Very well. We've been getting busy now that spring has sprung. As you had mentioned, we are starting to get busier and busier every day.
The North Dakota Truck Wash on the truck bypass south of Senex, Stanley. Come on in.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $33,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $33,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.